Yes. Okay, if I could have your attention, please. This is the third out of three shiurim dedicated to the halachas of tznius from different perspectives. I'd like to just reiterate a couple of general comments and then maybe just sum up what we said last time, and then we'll deal with the last sheet. This is quite an easy sheet. The main one was the second sheet, which is why I want to maybe sum up a couple of things on it. as I said to you at the very beginning and repeated last time, I'm not here to tell you everything there is to know about Hilchos Tznius. Many of these topics need their own dedicated shiurim. For example, all of the sources about what exactly is the shoik and what isn't the shoik, which we talked about in brief last time, needs its own treatment. The covering of hair that we only touched on last time needs its own treatment. There are a whole bunch of sources that we didn't look at. For example, I mentioned last time that they're strictly, according to the basic halacha, you do not have to cover your hair inside the house when there's no one there except maybe your family, etc., when you're married. However, I didn't mention there are other sources. There's a Zohar that says that you should, as a chumrah, cover your hair, etc. And I'm not getting into all the halachas. Even though you're in the house, you should cover your hair. I'm not getting into all of that. There are other opportunities that you'll be able to look into that. I'm not going to touch at all on Hilchos Yichud, because it's got nothing to do directly with Hilchos Tznius, although it's connected. I'm not going to touch on Hilchos Shomer Negiah, no pun intended, because that's also not really Hilchos Tznius, but it is related. And I hope that you've had classes on this during the year, and I'm sure you just got it, Marky, right? That's a shame. You're English, you should get it before everyone else. Okay? Hopefully you've had classes on these things during the year, and you'll be quite well aware of them. Just let me reiterate what we talked about last time, and then we'll move into today's sheet. Last time we talked about the concept of Das Yehudis, and just to recap, we said the following. There is a mitzvah min haTorah from the Parsha of Sotah, that a married woman has to appear in a dignified way, and generally a woman has to appear in a dignified way, and indeed men have to appear in a dignified way. The Parsha of Sotah applies specifically to the covering of the head of a married woman. To uncover her head in public, where there are men watching, is an undignified thing. We looked at it last time. Her body as well, that's also learned from that mitzvah min haTorah. And then we said there are a few objective Das Yehudis. Das Yehudis, of course, doesn't mean knowledge and nothing to do with Jewish women. It's Jewish religious practice. We talked about that last time. The arms and the thighs are an objective Das Yehudis, and everything beyond then is subjective, depending on society. Whether you wear tights, styles, fashions, lengths, slits, and all of that stuff, that's all based on Das Yehudis. If you're in a society where something or a certain way of behavior or dress is required, then it's absolutely required. And it's not a chumrah, it's required. If you're not in that society, fine, we talked about how to define society a little bit. It's not geographical, it's more association, and what kind of people define a society. We talked about that last time. That's really the core of Hilchos Tznius. What I want to talk about today is the whole concept of erva, because that's normally what's taught as Hilchos Tznius, and it impacts on Hilchos Tznius, but not directly. Have a look, please, in source number one. This is the pasuk that we had right at the very beginning in the first year, where we talked about the mitzvah doraisa of tzniut, of keeping the battlefield bathroom clean. This is the end of that little section. It says, Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerev machanecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within your camp. La'tilcha, he's going to save you. La'tet oivecha lefanecha, he's going to give up your enemies in front of you. V'haya mechanecha kodesh, you should keep your camp, your environment, kodesh, sanctified, holy, which we learned out what that meant. V'lo yir'eh b'cha ervat davar. And here's where the erva comes in. There shouldn't be seen in you an ervat davar, a thing which is erva. What does that mean? So if you look here, in number two, quite a famous source from the Sifrei dealing with this, says, Hayah machanecha kodesh. What does it mean your camp should be sanctified? Lo yir'cha b'cha ervat davar, v'shav ma'acharecha. Melame, this teaches us, she'arayas, the concept of erva pushes away shechina. If you want shechina there in a more direct way, erva is the opposite. Erva is going to push away shechina, and lack of erva is going to bring shechina. Now, the rabbis, based on this pasuk, and this is a rabbinic halacha,
the rabbi said that whenever there is erbat davar, whenever there's dibur, what does dibur mean? Speech, of course. This is not pshat in the word erbat davar. Erbat davar on the pshat level means a thing which is erva. So Chazal took the word davar, and of course the word davar in Hebrew means not only a thing, but also a word. And on a drash level, they learned to din drabanan and said, wherever there is dibur, meaning kodesh, kedusha, dibur of kedusha, learning, davening, brochas, shem Hashem, etc., there's not allowed to be any erva there. This is a din drabon on a certain level. On a din doraisa, well, look at number three. Chad chosid sha'al yelu zochel atoiv. Okay, one chosid says the Gemara Yerushalmi asked Eliyahu Anovi, Orum, what about a naked person? Mahu sheyikra shmar, if you're completely naked, are you allowed to read the shmar, which is a thing of kedusha, of shechina? Amar Lehi, he said to him, no, you're not. Lo yerecha b'cha ervas davar, ervat dibur. Dibur and erva don't go together. Meaning, on a halachic level, on a doraisa level, if you are completely naked, whether you're a man or a woman, you're not allowed to say different words of kedusha. But that's only if you're completely naked, you've got no clothes on at all. And the halachas for men are a little bit different from the halachas for women, not getting all to the specific halachas. But Chazal took that, and they extended it from the doraisa level, whereby you're not allowed to daven when you're completely naked, or say brochas, etc. And they said, not only if you're completely undressed, but if certain parts of you are showing on a rabbonon level, that's also an erva. This is again, not hilchas sneas. It's hilchas shma, learning, brochas, etc. Look at number four. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, and this is the Gemara which is often taught, and this is a separate sugya to what we learned in Subas. Have a look at number four. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, tefach be'isha erva. A tefach is an area of around 10 centimeters. Tefach is about 10 centimeters long, so let's say an area of 10 by 10 square centimeters altogether. Tefach be'isha erva. Well, it's not clear exactly how you calculate this tefach, but let's say that like that for now. The tefach on a woman is erva. What does that mean? Lamai. For what purpose? Ilema listakulebe, if you're going to say it's an erva that men are not allowed to stare at that. The ha'amar of Sheshis, didn't Rav Sheshis say, lama mana hakos of tachshitin shebechutim tachshitin shebifnim? This is an episode from Parshas Matos, okay, where they fight the wars with Midian, and they list all the different tachshitin, all the different jewelry that they captured from the slaves, from the women there of Midian. And it lists not only external jewelry, but very internal jewelry they wore underneath their clothes. Why are those things connected? Loma lecha, this teaches us, kol ha-mistakel, this is a very important point we'll come back to later, kol ha-mistakel be'etzpa katana shel isha, a man who stares, and we'll see what kind of staring this means, at even the little finger of a woman, in other words, a part which is completely open and showing, ke'ilu mistakel b'mokam ha-tariv, as if it looked at her most private part. So if you're going to tell me that the din of tefach is for a man not to stare inappropriately at a woman, that's not true. That applies to not just a tefach, it applies to anything, any part of a woman. We'll see how that works in halacha. If a man stares at it inappropriately, he's getting a very serious avera. We'll see what that avera is. Ella, but rather, it's nothing to do with staring sexually. Ella, but ishtai, it's about a man and his wife. When he's allowed to be looking at his wife. There's nothing wrong with looking at your wife. It's very recommended. Well, the Kriya Shema, and it's talking about Kriya Shema. In other words, this is nothing to do with tzniut. This is nothing to do with men looking inappropriately at women. It's talking about if my wife is sitting in the house, in the bedroom, whatever it is, and she's not completely dressed, if there's a tefach of her body, which is normally covered outside, now uncovered, I can't say the Shema. I can't daven. I can't say brochas. I can't say Shem Hashem. Is she doing anything wrong? No. Not at all. She's sitting in the house. But I have certain halachas because I'm saying dvarim shebe kedusha. I'm saying matters of kedusha. I can't do that in front of something which is an erva d'rabbanan. Again, it's not to do with her and how she should dress. It's to do with me and how I should say the Shema. Now, it goes on. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, shoik be'isha erva. The thigh of a woman is an erva. Again, for me, during Kriya Shema, Shenemar brings a posuk from Yeshaya, Gali Shoik, Ivri Narus, reveal your thigh, cross the river, and then straight after it, it says, Tigal Ervatech, reveal your Erva, and it associates the two together, Shoik and Erva. But this is a posuk in Yeshaya, this is not in the Torah, and again, this is for the Din Drabbanon, that if there's any part of a woman's thigh showing, including my own wife's, I'm not allowed to say, even less than a Tefach, I'm not allowed to say the Shema, I'm not allowed to say Brochas, etc., etc. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel goes on to say, Kol be'isha erva. The voice of a woman is an erva. Again, for what halacha? For me, davening, saying Kriya Shema, etc. Shema, what's that? Oh, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to get into a whole share on Kol Isha. That's another one of the things that I'd like to talk about and can't talk about because I haven't got time. But we'll talk about it in a minute. Amar Rav Sheshit, Rav Sheshit says, the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Ki Kolech Harev, your voice is very beautiful, Umarech Naveh, and your appearance is pleasing, etc. So the voice is something which is very attractive of a woman. It's not considered to be appropriate, at least on a Drabbanon level, for me to be saying brachas, etc., when I can hear women. We'll talk about what kind of voice that is. And finally, Serba Esha Erva, the hair of a woman is an Erva, Shneimar, from Shir HaShirim, Sareich Ke'eder Ha'izim. Your hair is like a flock of goats, which is a praiseworthy thing. A nice kind of pretty flock of goats. No, it doesn't smell like a flock of goats. It looks like the wavy nature of a flock of goats coming down the hill. I'm not sure that works as a compliment these days. If you're out in a shidduch and the guy says your hair's like a flock of goats, okay, you'll know where he's getting it from, all right? And you'll and take it as a compliment, okay? Now, the Chazal have outlined four things here, which on a drabbanon level are considered to be erva, for the purpose of shema, brachas, etc. Tefach, on a place which is normally covered, outside. Shoik, one second, shoik, hair, and voice. What were you saying, Racheli?
Like, for example, is that in general, or like in the house?
I don't know what you're asking.
Then you said something that can be covered that's now uncovered.
Yes, I'm talking about anywhere. If I can see any of these parts of a woman's body, whether I'm in the house, whether I'm out of the house. Now, if I'm in the house and it's my wife, then that's normal. If I'm out of the house and it's some other woman, it means she's not covering herself up properly. That's a din of sneers, which is separate to this, completely separate to this.
For example, like in the house, that's she only wears a job.
Okay, so she's allowed to do that, so I just have to... Fine, so if any of the parts of my wife or whoever it is, my daughter's body is uncovered that she'd normally cover out in the street, even though she's allowed to walk around like that in the house because it's 11 o'clock at night and she's in her pyjamas, that's fine. I'm just not allowed to say Kriya Shema. Any woman. Any woman who's exposing any of these parts of the body, whether rightly or wrongly... And it's nothing to do with whether she's allowed or she's not allowed. I have certain halachas. If my wife uncovers her hair in the bedroom, I'm not allowed to say a bracha looking at my wife's hair. It's not her problem. She doesn't have to cover her hair. I just have to look the other way. This is a halacha on men. Kol Isha is a halacha on men, not on women. Kol Isha doesn't say that women are not allowed to sing this halacha in public or in private. There's a halacha men are not allowed to listen to women singing in private or public. So where is the halacha? Where do we learn a halacha that a woman should stand in the street and sing a song? It's not from here. Where's it from? No, it's not from Lifnei Iver, although Lifnei Iver plays into this. Lifnei Iver is a general sensitivity. Why would you put someone in a position where they're doing an Aveira? But much more fundamentally than Lifnei Iver. Where do we learn that from? The mitzvah of Tzniut that we saw last time, there's a mitzvah to be dignified. There's a mitzvah doraisa for someone to be in a dignified situation. Making a spectacle of yourself in the middle of the street is not necessarily dignified. And therefore, it's not just because of the man. It's also because of the woman. Why? Can a woman dance? Can a woman dance in public? Now, I have an issue maybe looking at women dancing, but what about you? Do you have an issue dancing? So clearly, if you're in the middle of the street and there's a bunch of guys watching you and clapping or whatever, that's an issue. What if you're at a wedding and there's a machitza? Yeah. Fine. What if there's one old man sitting by a machitza? There's always one old guy sitting there watching the women dancing. Yeah? Every wedding has the guy. There's a guy that comes to every wedding does this, right? So what does that mean? Let me ask you a question, girls. You never had this before? You're dancing with a beautifully high machitza, and there's some old relative there standing instead of clapping some old guy clapping like this. So, what, you're going to close all the women's dancing down? You're not allowed to dance now? He's got an issue. He's not meant to be looking at that. But is this an undignified way for you as a group of women to be behaving, dancing behind a machitza, but there's some guy watching? Is it or isn't it? No, it's not. And it's not necessary for you to close the whole place down because of that. It's all dependent on context. Very much dependent on context. If you're singing in the room here, a song practicing for the Kedma competition or whatever it is, and there are men walking in the corridor or outside and they can hear you, is that your problem? Are you doing something undignified?
When you see them.
I'm not asking if you see them. Even if you do see them, are you doing something undignified? Let me tell me, yes or no.
No.
It doesn't seem that you are. I mean, you may find some people may be very sensitive and say, look, it's not dignified even for people to hear me. Okay, but that's a contextual thing. But they have a halacha of kol isha, depending on how the halacha of kol isha works, whether it's multiple voices, etc. But that's his problem. That's his issue. Is he listening? Is he saying shema, brachas, etc.? You don't have to worry about that. Your halacha is one of sneers and libnei iver, which comes into it. But the kol isha issue for you is sneers, yeah. Depending, maybe. If a woman records a CD and she says this is for women to listen to and a guy buys it, that's your problem. You're never allowed to record a CD in case men come to buy it. That's a shyly, depends on who you are. It may depend on a lot. If you're a group of 12-year-old girls singing in a high school in America, maybe it's fine. If you're, you know, one of the leading rabbis, wives or rabbanits or whatever, maybe it's not appropriate. That's a contextual issue as well. Some things are pretty objective. If you stand in the middle of the street and make a spectacle of yourself and sing a song, okay, that I don't think that many people would say that was dignified on any level. But other things, the kind of stuff that you're asking is a little bit subjective, yeah. I never heard of a rabbi that says a woman's not allowed to record a song for other women in case a man might ever listen to it. I mean, maybe there are people that said that. Okay, sell them. You could put. I know a woman. There was a woman's CD that was made in London. It says on the CD, this CD is intended for women to buy. Okay, now you and I ask them, what more can they do? Not make one at all? Okay, maybe, yeah. Could be, absolutely. Good point. It may be completely undignified for a man to stand and sing on the street corner as well, depending on who he is. There's no, obviously, din of Kol Isha because she hasn't got the same din of listening to him because there's no sexual context, normally, for a man, woman listening to a man's voice. There might be in unusual circumstances, but they may well be the other way around much more. But still, is it? You can ask me, is it sanur for a man to stand, depending on who he is? Again, that's his issue. Some rabbis are machmir, even that if he can't see who it is. Some rabbis are machmir, only if he knows what she looks like. I'm not even getting into those halachas now. But they're all men's halachas, they're not your halachas. No, that's not correct. You're also sensitive to lifnei iver. But the reason that you're not singing is not just because a bunch of guys are going to get into trouble. That means that your halachas are because of them. You're not singing because it's not sanua and dignified for you to sing. That's the issue. Or is it, depending on the situation? Lifnei iver is part of it, but don't go around thinking that everything you do is just because of the guys. That's a factor. But it's not the key factor. It's because of you. It's because of the dinim of tzniut intrinsically. Yes. Oh, see, that's a very good example. So let's say you don't have Jewish men there. You just have non-Jewish men there. So you say, so I'm just going to sing in front of non-Jewish men. So there's no halacha of Jewish men listening to me sing. So you're asking, is that okay? So if you were only focusing on lifnei iver or on men's halachas, so you might come to the conclusion that it was okay. But of course, if you're really focusing on the key issue, which is it's not about them, it's about you, so is it okay? Is it any better to sing in front of non-Jewish men than Jewish men? It's accepted by who? By them? I understand, but is it dignified for you as a Jewish woman to be making a spectacle of yourself in the middle and singing in front of a group of non-Jewish men? That's the question. They don't have a din of Kol Isha. They have no halachas of Kol Isha, but you still have a halacha of sneers. I've had women ask me questions like, I know I'm not allowed to go on a mixed beach with a bikini in front of Jewish men, but what about non-Jewish men? The whole question is based on a complete fundamental misunderstanding of where the halachas are coming from. If you're taught sneers in such a way that you think that the reason you dress this way is because of the guys, you can ask such a question. But if you understand it's got really to do with you much more than them, How could you even think of such a question? How could it be possible to dress that way in front of non-Jewish people? It's still you, even if they're not Jewish. What difference does it make if they're not Jewish? So I think the answer is no, it would not be the same. It would not be appropriate. It would be just the same. Maybe it's even worse. I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. The Rav Moshe picks up the fact that this is not connected with Hilchos Sneis. I'm not going to give you the whole thing in number 5, but Rav Moshe asked a very good question. When the rabbis are looking for a posik to say that the hair of a woman, of a married woman, is an erva, and they look to this posik in Shir HaShirim, your hair is like a flock of goats, says Rav Moshe, what would be a much more obvious posik to get from? If you're looking for a posuk that says the hair of a married woman shouldn't be looked at, where would you expect them to look? What's that? The Sota. The Isha Sota, Rav Moshe says, why didn't they bring a Doraisa posuk from Sota, that she's not allowed to have her hair uncovered in public? Because the answer is, clearly they understood that this was not the same issue. There it was dealing with an issue of tzniut. Here it's dealing with an issue, drabonon, of saying Divrei Torah in front of certain things. And therefore they look to a different place. They're two completely different areas. Have a look at the Halacha Lemaisa in the Shulchan Aruch number 6. This is brought down, and I'll go through this quickly, and this summarizes what's going on here. Tefach Megula Be'isha. If there's a tefach uncovered in a woman, the Makam Shedarcha Lachsos in a place that she normally covers. Meaning, and we now know what the places are that she normally covers because we talked about it last time, which is learned out from the other places of Das Yehudis, which are below the elbow, below the knee, etc., etc. Or, okay, that's what's normally uncovered. Or let's say that there's a place where there's a Das Yehudis to cover more than the minimum. Let's take Bnei Brak. Let's say Bnei Brak. I know we always get at the people in Bnei Brak, but let's say Bnei Brak. Let's say there's a minhag to wear sleeves down to the wrist. Let's say, okay? And there's a man in the street there, and a woman from Bnei Brak is uncovering her arm up to the elbow. Okay? He's not allowed to say Shema in front of that. Why? Because that's a place that's normally covered, because her dasi hood is to cover that. A woman from Yerushalayim or somewhere else, he would be allowed to say Shema in front of it. You hear? Because if that's a place that's normally covered, that's a place that's normally covered. So he says, but Malkum Shidarcha Lafso, so Afilu Hi Ishto, even if it's his wife, also the Kris Krishma from Kenegda, you're not allowed to read Shema Kenegda against it, that's his halacha. The Nir Medivri HaRosh, and then the Ramah says an interesting thing. It seems from the Rosh, the Tefach Be'isha Erva, this idea of a Tefach of uncovered on a woman, Afilu Le'isha Acheris, even for another woman, is also an Erva. Rakshava Atmi Yichol Likra Fal Pishahi Aruma. In other words, your uncovered tefach for you is not an erva according to everybody. In other words, you can say brachas even if you're not fully dressed. Everyone agrees on that, as long as you're not completely naked. You can say a bracha if you've got shorts and a t-shirt on. There's no reason for you to be fully dressed to make a bracha. The shaila is, can you as women make a bracha in front of other women who are not fully dressed? So the Rosh says no in Shulchan Aruch. The Rashba, there's a whole machlokes, the Rashba says yes. And the minhag is to be lenient. That's why women do make brachas in front of other women who are not dressed fully. You sit on the bus in Yerushalayim, all the women are saying Tehillim. So the women are only allowed to say Tehillim. According to this Rosh, they wouldn't be allowed to say Tehillim in front of other women who are not dressed properly. But we don't rely on that. We rely on the Rashba, which is lenience, and that's the general minhag. But men for sure can't. A man is not allowed to say out loud Tehillim or learn Torah out loud in front of women who are not dressed properly. That's the thinking in his head. And that's all. Yeah. Not of men what? So the question is, either they'll have to make sure that they're not looking directly at things that they're not allowed to look at, okay? Or they'll have to learn in their head. If they're learning in their head, so it's not dibur, it's not speaking, you're allowed to think in your mind. You're even allowed to think Torah in the shower when you're completely naked in your mind. You're not allowed to think Torah in the toilet. You're not allowed to think Torah in the bathroom, where there's a toilet there. You're not allowed to think Torah there. But if you're in the shower and you're not in there, if there's a mechitza or if there's a curtain or something, you're allowed to think in your head. You're not allowed to speak Torah. You can't talk to it. You can't make brachas, etc. Okay? Okay, fine. So don't think about bad things. Think about good things. I'm not talking about thinking about bad things. I'm talking about thinking about Torah. It's very rare that you'll have a situation where you do things wrong by thinking about Torah. Just don't think about Torah in the bathroom. Think about Torah everywhere else. You'll be alright. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right. Oh, that's a great question. You're in an all-women's theatre production, and you're wearing you're in costume, in period costumes, Victorian, whatever, Edwardian costumes, and you're dressed in a way you've never dressed in front of men, okay? But you're dressed that way in front of other women. What are the halachas of that? So you're not in public, and it's not going to be learnt out from the halachas of Sota and all the stuff which you cover in public. So where's it going to be learnt out from? And it's the first class. That's why I taught you the first class. It's the idea of hinei b'chadrei chadorim. What is dignified for me, even when there aren't people watching necessarily, that I wouldn't do this in front of? Is this an appropriate thing for me as a person to do? Very subjective. You can't exactly say it's osur. It's no kol isha problem because it's a bunch of women singing to a bunch of women. There's no reason for you to be fully dressed in front of other women. Clearly not. But what about being on the stage in a show? You have to ask yourself the first question. Who are you? What kind of environment do you live in? What kind of culture do you live in? Is this considered to be acceptable, unacceptable? Would you be unhappy that people knew you did this, etc.? It's going to have to be a very personal decision. That's the halacha. You're expecting the halachic to be yes or no. That's not how halacha always works. Halacha sometimes is, well, tell me about yourself and then maybe we can work it out. Yeah? So there's not going to be one psak, yes, no, on that particular issue. It's going to be, who are you? What are you doing? How old are you? What status in society do you have? How do you look at yourself? How do others look at you, etc.? That's why we taught the first class first. Yeah? Okay, fine. So let's go on. So women in front of women can read Shema and things like that. Yeah. Okay. 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 Sometimes it's very difficult to walk around without seeing anything. But we'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says about this in a minute, in number 11.
What's the least that woman can,
You just have to be not naked, basically. Now, we're talking about davening. One second. If you're talking about brochas and tehillim and things like that, that's one thing. If you're talking about Shemona Esrei, then when you daven Shemona Esrei, you have to be dressed in such a way that you dress in the street. There are different halachas for Shemona Esrei. Silchus Tfilah, I'm not getting into that now. If you just want to say a shehakol or whatever on a glass of water, so you don't have to be fully dressed to do that. You can be just barely dressed to do that. But that's not true of Shemona Esrei, and I'm not getting into all the details now. Now, look at B, a bet, in 6. Sarah shall isha shidarcha lechsoiso, the hair of a woman that she normally covers, i.e. married women. Also, a man's not allowed to daven and say Tfilah, etc. in front of her. Afilo Ishto, even his wife, it's nothing to do with sneers. She doesn't have to cover her hair with me. I still can't say brochas. Aval basulois, but unmarried women. Shadak and Leilat Pruas Harosh, which go with their hair uncovered. Mutter, I'm allowed to say in front of them. Fine. Looking Gimel. Yesh Lizam, Mishmir's called Zema Isha, and similarly I should be careful not to listen to women's voices. Bashat Kriyashma. When I'm saying Kriyashma means not the Shema, but Shvila and brochas and anything like that. Afilo Ishto, again, even my wife is allowed to sing to our heart's delight with her and me in the house. We can sing and dance around the house together. I'm just not allowed to say the Shema, okay? About Kol Haragil Boy, and this is Nili's question, a regular voice of a woman, Eina Ereva, is not an Ereva. And what does that mean exactly? That's a whole discussion in Kol Isha. According to most of the poskim, a normal woman speaking voice is clearly not considered to be Kol Isha, okay? Unless the context is one which is inappropriate. Which I'm not getting into the whole thing now, but normally it's clearly not. It's only restricted to the singing voice. The question is, are there some singing voices even of a woman which a man is allowed to listen to? What about a recording on the radio? What about something through a microphone? I'm not getting into that now. It's a whole discussion. But none of those are your halachas. They're his halachas, and he can work that out. I mean, what happens if you know, a woman's voice comes up on a jingle on the radio in an advertisement? Is that called Isha? Or is that so removed from any context of sexuality? Obviously, the reason that Chazal brought these erevas is because they are potentially sexual. A woman's hair can be very attractive. A woman's voice can be very attractive. In certain situations, it's clearly not, but I'm not getting into that now. Now, just so you're aware and have a complete picture, I want to just look at the next section as well. Because women often get quite unhappy whether men are looking at them or not looking at them. Do men have to look away? And again, this is not really Hilchot Sneers. But I want you to get a full picture because it's part of the whole thing. Okay? Have a look at this. Men, apart from the din of Kriya Shema and davening and tefillah, which has a separate halacha, it's got nothing to do with sexuality and looking, it's to do with the general context. Men have a separate issa that they're not allowed to look at women in a way which is inappropriate. Okay? Where does that come from? Last week's parsha, look at number 7. Okay? B'hai alachem letzitzis. Either be quiet or just leave. Okay? Whichever you wish. Yeah? Ba'alachem letzitzis. They will be tzitzis for you. Ure'isem oisoi, and you look at them. Uzachatim is called mitzvah Hashem, va'atisem osam, and you'll do all the mitzvahs. Ve'loisasuru achre levavkim va'achre enechem. That posik, ve'loisasuru achre levavkim, don't stray after your eyes and after your mind, is a general issa not to look and not to think about things which are going to take you off in the wrong direction. That isn't really applies to men and women in terms of what they're thinking about, not have to think about avodah zorah or heretical things, that kind of stuff. But similarly, in terms of what you're looking at, there is an issa to look at things which are going to take you in the wrong direction. And that's primarily aimed at men, who are more likely to be looking at women in an appropriate way than women looking at men. Although it can work the other way around, certainly today, where everyone seems to be pretty, you know, doing everything that everyone else does. It's not so much so clear anymore that it's just a men's halacha, but it's principally. Look at number 8. The Ramban. Hamistakil ba'arayas. If a man looks at an erva means a woman that he's not allowed to have a sexual relationship with. Mali al daso she'ein b'kach klum. He thinks, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Shehu oimer, he says to himself, b'ki ba'alti or karavti etzah. Did I touch her? Did I have a relationship with her? I just looked. You know, looking is... it's okay. I didn't do anything else. I didn't touch. That's Shem and Agia. Chas v'chalila. I didn't touch it. But who Einu Yodeya, he doesn't realize Shari'iyas Einayim Avon Gadol, says the Rambam, that just looking at the wrong things is a very serious issa. Shehi Goremis Ligufan Shel Arayas, it leads to Arayas themselves. Shene'emah Lo Yisasuru Achre Levafim V'Achre Einechem. The Rambam brings this down as a din d'oraisa. And that's why we said in Brochas, in number 9, we said this before, I'll repeat it again, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tefach Be'isha Erva Lamai, Ilem Elista Kulibai, if this Tefach is just about looking at the woman, the Hamar Rav Sheshis, Kolam Itztakil Be'etzba Ketani, even if a man looks at the little finger of a woman, Shal Isha of a woman, Ki'ilu Mistakil Be'mokam HaTorev, as if he looked at her in the most private way. And what kind of looking are we talking about? It's very clear from the Rambam, look at number 10, Hamistakel Afilu Be'etzba Ketani Shal Isha, a man who looks even at the little finger of a woman, the nitkavein lahanot, and his intention was to get pleasure from it. Kibishin istakel b'mokam atariv, as if he looked at her in the most private way, ba'afil lishmoy kol ha'erva, even to listen to her voice, or lirosar, to look at her hair in this way, awesome. It's clear from the halacha that men are not allowed d'oraisa to stare at inappropriate women is only to stare at them in a sexual way. If they look at women in a way which has intention to benefit, what about if they look at them just to look at how pretty they are, etc.? Okay, so maybe also. But certainly if they look in a sexual way, that's also. But what if they just look in a normal way? What if, like, I'm looking at you, I'm talking to someone, there's a woman in the street, I'm looking at her. Is that permitted or is that prohibited? So sometimes you find there are men who will not look at women. When they're talking at you, they'll look the other way. A lot of women get very unhappy about this. Okay, my wife is not very keen on this when it happens to her. But I can understand that. But what's the halacha? Where are these guys coming from? So I want you to see in the Mishnah Berurah, and you'll understand it hopefully, it's very straightforward. So like this, number 11. Because the la'iri elali inyan issa krishma. What we've been talking about the tefach, is to do with krishma. It's not to do with the issa of looking at women inappropriately, or to do with tzniut. Which is, by the way, this whole concept of having a tefach above the normal area for tzniut reasons, it doesn't really get off the ground. It's not correct. Because the din of tefach has nothing to do with tzniut. So it is aval. However, one second. It's a krishma on the first line. The ha'issa hu laharbe apoiskim likros negid hamagula afilu beloy miskaven leistekuli. Even without, when it comes to krishma, even if you're not looking in a sexual way, you can just see it. That's still prohibited. Even if I can just see a woman's arms or a woman's legs, even if I'm not looking at them inappropriately, I can't say the shema, etc. Aval, however, le'inyan issa lehistaklus. As far as a man looking inappropriately, lekula alma hamistakel beisha afilu beetz katana, everyone agrees that if a man looks at a woman, even of a little finger, kevin shemistakel ba lahanot, if he's looking at it inappropriately, oive belav, he's doing an issa doraisa, the loisa siru achrei aneichim, etc. It's very hard. There are books written for men to try and help them to master this. It's not an easy thing. I have a wonderful little book at home that says it's called Taharat Einayim, which is a very nice little book written about helping men to control what they're looking at, which is not a straightforward business. And it says, there's a nice little line there, it says, if you're driving through an area of town where the women aren't dressed properly, you're not allowed to look out of the window of the bus. And then in big bold letters it says, but this doesn't apply to the driver of the bus. I like that. You don't want a bus driver that is like extra frum about these things, because otherwise... Oh yeah, be careful when you meet a Jewish bus driver. But just in case you thought that was the case. But anyway. Oh, so let's look at, he says that right now. The Amrusha Afilu Yesh Biyado Torah, even if this man has Torah Matim Tovim, Lo Yinaki Midina Shal Gehenim, he won't be saved from Gehenim. Serious business. Now, Uri'iyah Ba'alma,
This is important. Just looking at a woman, lefitumai, in an innocent way, beloy nehene, without any kind of inappropriate context, shari, is permitted. A man is allowed to look at a woman in a way which is normal, without any sexual context. Im loy mitzad ha-musa, unless she wants her because of musa to be extra machmer, or b'sefer minchas shmuel, ho-chich da-adam choshev, yesh lo yizah b'chol gavne, that an adam choshev, it brings down, who is an adam choshev? Okay, so you can define who an Adam Choshev is. Should be careful, even normal looking at women, not to look at women. But it's a chumrah at the end of the day, which is appropriate for some people and inappropriate for other people. And of course, like all chumras, has to be weighed up against the downsides of insensitivity, who's going to get hurt, etc., etc. But Kassav of Prima Gadim, and he ends and he says, the Prima Gadim says, however, a place where a woman normally covers, kagoyim zeraiseha, like her arms, v'chiyah gavna, shar mekoymes, hagufa, her body, afriya ba'alma osa. Even normal looking is osa. So there's three basic levels. There's three levels. A man is allowed to look at any part of a woman's body that is normally uncovered, as long as he's doing it in a way which is normal, not with any kind of inappropriate kavanah, etc. There's no halacha that he has to look away, unless, for whatever reason, he feels it's appropriate to take on a chumrah, not to look at any woman at all, in any way, and then he has to weigh up what that chumrah is, and how, what the downsides are, and whether he's going to offend people, etc., etc. I was once, I know a Rebbetzin, who had a guy came to collect from her. I'm not saying collect stocker. Anyway, her husband wasn't in, so she was talking to the guy. So the guy was talking to her about his stocker, and he was looking at the wall. Okay, and he was talking to her. She was sitting over there, and he was looking at the wall. She's a bit sharp, this particular person, and she said to him, she said, look, I'm very happy to give you stocker, but I prefer that you look at me and think about the wall, rather than looking at the wall and thinking about me. Okay? Okay, I'm not telling you that was necessarily the only way to approach it, but it's not so straightforward when people just look away from people without looking at them. I can understand why some people do it, but in certain situations it's not always an appropriate thing to do. But to look at parts of a woman's body which are normally covered, even just to look at them and see them, that is osa. That's very hard to do sometimes. When you walk around the street, you're not allowed to look at even if you're not having the wrong kavanas, at parts of a woman's body that are normally covered. Okay, that's Sarah. Again, these are not your halachas. These are men's halachas. And finally, he says to look at any kind of a person in any way which is inappropriate is clearly an isador. Isador Isa of Lois Asuru. And the Shulchan Aruch in number 12 says that applies to Kol Isha, listening to a woman's voice inappropriately. It applies even to looking at a woman's clothes when she's not wearing them, smelling a perfume, all of these things. There are a lot of halachas about men not treating women in a way which is sexually objectifying, which is very important. Men are not allowed to treat women as sexual objects.
Even thinking.
They're not allowed to think. Yeah, thinking is also osa. Thinking in a way which is inappropriate is osa for men or for women.
Well.
What's that?
Well.
Correct. You can sit in your head as well. Your head is not a place which is unknown to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, everything is open, and therefore being in control of what one sees and looks at, etc., is an important thing. It's not strictly part of Hilchos Sneis, but it's the whole Erev Parsha, and therefore I wanted you to be aware of it. Okay, the last two points that I wanted to make, and then I'll take some general questions, and we can talk about general issues. Lifnei Iver. There is clearly a whole parsha of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is not doing anything which will cause other people to do Averis. We learn it out from Pasuk number 13. Loisikal el cheresh, v'lifnei Iver loisikal michshol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. It doesn't physically mean not to put a block of concrete in front of a blind man. If you put a concrete block in front of a blind man and watch them fall over it, you didn't do this Avera. Okay? You did plenty other Averas, don't worry. You're not allowed to do that. But this Avera applies to giving people bad advice or causing people to do Averas. Classic example of Avodah Zorah, number 14. You're not allowed to give a cup of wine to a nozir who's not allowed to drink wine, that even a chayla b'nei noach, or a limb from a living animal to a non-Jew. Because why do we know that? Talmud no, lifnei iver loy titen michshol. Don't give a stumbling block. As I pick up on the word give in front of a person who's blind. Therefore, that's not hilchos sneis, but you need to be aware of it. You can't walk around life causing other people to stumble, whether you're a man or a woman. It's not the reason that we dress how we dress, but it's a factor in how we interact with other people. It's a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro. A mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro are fundamental, are very important. And therefore, if someone were to tell you the reason that women dress a certain way is to avoid lifnei iver with the men, no, that's not correct. Otherwise, we end up starting asking questions about going on the non-Jewish beach with a swimsuit. That's not the reason you dress that way. But it is a factor.
It's a factor. And it works definitely in both directions. And finally, I mentioned this at the very beginning of the first year, but Avat Reim, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. People forget about this. I don't teach you Hilchos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, although I do teach Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and people often forget about this. When we go to Shamayim after 120 years and look at the number of mitzvahs and averes that we do, Hilchos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro will figure very greatly. The Vilna Gaon says this is the most important avodah that we do, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, just treating people how you'd want to be treated. Basic halacha. Have a look in number 15. What does it mean you love your friend as yourself? Targum Yonason translates, love your fellow person, demand whatever you wouldn't like done to you, don't do to them. So don't treat people in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated. Don't be insensitive to people in whatever direction, and they shouldn't be insensitive to you. And I think in Hilchos Tznius, this is an important point to stress as well, because even if there are people who are doing things which they shouldn't be doing, the way that we relate to people should always be in a way which is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro friendly. I was once at the Kotel, and there were a bunch of girls singing and dancing at the other side of the Kotel, and they're doing whatever they're doing, and there was a bunch of guys getting very upset about it. I was leading a Kiruv group, and you know, my students were, you know, having a wonderful time on Friday night, and there were guys throwing bottles of water at them and all that kind of stuff. And I'm saying to the guys, look, you know, leaving aside what you think of them, what about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, etc., etc.? They didn't want to hear me. It's a shame, because I'm not saying that they were wrongly motivated, but their actions were clearly inappropriate, because this is not the right way to behave. You have to behave in a sensitive way to other people. Even if I understand where they're coming from, it's not correct for them to act that way. You don't scream and shout at people, throw stones at them, or pour bleach on them. That's an Issa D'oraisa on any level. Okay. If you see someone doing that very what? No, there's no such thing as you do anything you can to stop them. I could shoot them in the head, it was also stop them. Yeah? You know, there's no such thing as you do anything you can. There's a mitzvah of tochacha. There's a mitzvah to intervene, to educate people to do mitzvahs and not averas in a way which will be effective and long-term productive. Even if they get upset right here and right now, as long as it's going to be effective, there's a mitzvah tochacha. So yes, in certain circumstances, that would apply to Hilchos Tznius as well. It's very hard to see how people can give public tochacha to people that they don't know in a way which comes across as offensive. It's like, you know, throwing stones at people and screaming Shabbos, if they're driving on Shabbos, won't necessarily get people to stop driving on Shabbos. All right, fine, you can work out the Hilchos Shabbos in it with the stone. I'll tell you an interesting story. I have a friend who runs a hotel, and he told me that many years ago he was running a hotel and the pool was open on Shabbos, and they had people keeping Shabbos inside and people in the pool outside, and it was always a little bit kind of sketchy. Yeah. And then a new rabbi came into the Hashgacha in charge of the giving the licenses, and he called him into the office and he said, oh, I'm going to lose my license, the new guy is going to be very upset about the pool. So the new guy said to him, you know, we have a problem. You have a pool that's open on Shabbos. He goes, yeah, I know. He says, this is a problem. You shouldn't have a pool that's open on Shabbos. So he says, yeah, I know. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? He says, I don't know. What do you want me to do about it? He says, I'll only give you your license on the following condition. That when you're serving cholents and meats and stuff inside to the people who are keeping Shabbos, you take free food out to the pool and give it all to the people around the pool, compliments of the hotel, wishing them a good Shabbos. So at least they should know it's also Shabbos, as well as the people sitting inside should know it's Shabbos. That's an interesting way to do tochacha. Now, how effective is it? I don't know. But maybe the idea is they fill them so full of cholent they can't go in the pool anymore. I don't know whether that's the idea. They sink or something like that. But the point is that there are ways. The reason I'm telling you this now, Nava, is that there are ways to do tochacha, which is not just like doing anything I can to stop it, but it's long-term effective. It's very hard to educate about Hilchos Tznius, especially with one's own family, etc. It's very difficult. Yes. Again, it depends on how you do it. You can say Shabbat Shalom to someone in the street on Tel Aviv on Shabbat in a way which embarrasses them, and you can say it in a way which is nice to them. Depends on how you say it. You say it with a smile, you say it with a frown. A lot depends on the manner in which you speak to people. Okay, I've said all I want to say on this issue, on these issues of Hilchos Sneas. There's much more to say, and I've outlined what I haven't talked about. But I'll take a few questions, if there are any questions. Whenever I ask for the questions, there are never any questions. But yeah, Devorah.
Yeah.
I didn't quite say you have to cover everything apart from your neck. Right, if you wouldn't call it your neck, I said, then it's not your neck.
Okay, but did everybody learn that way? Because I feel like somehow I say that's not.
You mean you have to cover more or you have to cover less? I'm not aware of anyone who says that the area of the goof is okay to uncover. Everyone says, the question seems to just be defining the borderline. But I agree. I said last time it's not clear. The collarbone was fairly randomly picked as a good dividing line, and it makes sense. Okay, that's not the only way to look at it. But I said, and this is what Rav Berkovitz says, clearly if you look at an area of your body and you say, that's clearly not my neck, then it's very hard to define as your neck. If you're asking me, is there a shita that says that you are allowed to cover much more than your neck, I'm not aware of such a shita.
Oh,
you're allowed to uncover more than your neck. I'm not aware of such a shita. Look, you'll find a bunch of different people doing different things. There are some people who are not asking shaylos at all. They're just doing whatever they want, okay, in every area of life, in every society. There are some people who feel that the collarbone is not their dasi hudis, or that's not their borderline between the goof and the neck, and it's something else which is near there. I hear that. And it depends, it's a question of scale as well. If there are people a little bit here, a little bit there, okay, it's one thing. If there are people who are wearing things down here, that's another thing. Fine, so good. So what is the border? So let's ask them, what is the border then? Tell me what the border is. And if they come up with a sensible decision that makes sense, okay. If the rabbis are saying that's where the border is, fine. I suspect most people who are not asking questions about it, which is a problem in every area of life. You're asking a good question. How does anyone ever change the Das Yehudis? Because there's always going to have to be some naughty people at the beginning that start doing something which they shouldn't do, yeah? And then that catches on and becomes a new Das Yehudis. Yes, I agree. That may be how sometimes it changes, but I think it can change more organically. It changes not just by sudden shifts, but, let's take colours, for example. Which colours are considered to be tsanua for women to wear in different societies? I think that shifts and changes with time. Sometimes you find that everybody's wearing black and white, and if somebody wears a colour, then everyone thinks it's terribly inappropriate. And other times, you turn around 6 or 7 years later, now everyone's wearing colour. How did that happen? Slowly people began to change their wardrobe, not trying to make a big public affair out of it. Slowly it changes. Styles change, long skirts, shorter skirts. I don't think it's only naughty people. Sometimes that's what you have to be. Well, I'm not even sure, if there's a dasi hudis that women didn't drive in certain societies. How did that change? I suppose some women started driving. But maybe times changed. Maybe the nature of driving changed. All these things happen in a very subtle way. That's why dasi hudis exist. Because we can't lay down laws 1,000 years ago at the other side of the world as to how people should behave 1,000 years later at the other side of the world. The halacha is very sensitive to that. It wants there to be an organic nature of to change that. Which actually is very... very subtle and very nuanced and actually very appropriate. Yes?
What about wearing tights? There are some companies that make tights very, very, very similar to your skin color. So
right.
How is that more tsnua?
So we talked about that last time. I'm not sure you were here last time, but if you listened into the shiur last time, we see that sometimes the communities feel that the dasi hudis is for certain kind of tights to be more appropriate than just bare legs. Now, you're telling me that the tights make your legs look nicer rather than less nice. Okay, so the women of this society are going to have to decide this way or the other way. One thing's for sure, once the society that you're in or want to be in, we talked about that last time, has decided that this is a certain way to behave, then that's the way you have to behave. It's not a chumrah.
Okay, but it's also similar to your skin, so how do you differentiate?
You don't have to differentiate. It's nothing to do with it. It has to be different to your skin. The women have decided that this is a more mechubad way to dress, let's say, so then it is. Ah, you're going to turn around and say, well, shaytels may look like your hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
So some societies feel that all shekels are not appropriate. They should wear a scarf around their head or something like that. Fine. Other societies feel the shekels are. Which shekels are, which shekels aren't. No rabbi can come down like Moshe Mitzrayim and give you a list of acceptable shekels or unacceptable shekels. I know that there are some books that try to do that. But that's just not the way that I understand and I've learned that Hilchos Tznius works. The women have to decide, and it depends on where you live. Are you going to turn around, this shekel looks nicer than my normal hair? Okay, so in some societies that's going to be inappropriate, some it's going to be more appropriate. It doesn't mean that you can wear and cover your head in a normal way just because you say that your hair looks less nice than your shekel. Yeah.
So this is kind of like an unrelated question, but you said like basically the community that you're a part of or that you want to be a part of, you make the decision of like whether you keep the statue or not.
Yeah. I think you shouldn't be deciding on the community you want to be in just because of the way that people dress in that community. It has to be a much more holistic and broad picture as to the kind of people that they are, the kind of society that they create, the kind of way they bring up the kids, the schools they send them to, what they are, their morals and their ethics and their goals and their aspirations. Part of it will be the way that they dress. Part of it. But if you're only choosing your society based on the way people dress, I think that's a little bit shallow. Yeah. I mean, as long as they stick with the Das Yehudis and they clearly they're part of that community, they can't make a go off on it. But yeah, they turn around and say, well, I think actually these tights, take Radha's point, I think these tights look nicer than me not wearing tights. But say, okay, that's fine, so you're part of the community, that's fine. Yeah, correct. It doesn't mean we all have to be identical. It's not like, no Das Yehudis, there are some societies where there's like the Das Yehudis, we all have to be identical. For men and for women, you know, you saw the pictures of the Belzer wedding. It's beautiful, but like all the guys are like mamash identical. That's a Das Yehudis for the guys in that community, and the women are in certain communities. The plenty of communities, the Das Yehudis is the women look very different from each other. But there's some things which are red lines and some things which aren't. You pick your society, though. I don't think you pick it on the way that people look. You pick it on the other factors, and that means a lot of thought goes into it. Jody. Well, if you're not from a frum place, there's unlikely to be a Das Yehudis which defines it. Because if the people are not keeping halacha, that doesn't define a Das Yehudis, because they can't define the appropriate way to behave according to halacha if they're not really sensitized to halacha. Therefore, you are going to stick out a little bit in a place where nobody is from. Right. Right, so it is okay. The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you shouldn't be embarrassed to keep halacha in a place where people don't keep halacha. But it has to be done. It's interesting. The Hatznei Aleches in the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is read in different ways. One of them it's read that you have to be tanua, but one of them it comes after this idea of not being embarrassed to keep halacha. But still the Hatznei Aleches, there's a way to keep halacha in a way which is itself tanua. Meaning, you can stick out by keeping the halacha, but you have to do so in the way that is least obtrusive. In other words, you have to try and make efforts not to make yourself stick out too much, whilst at the same time keeping to halacha. So you'll know that there are ways that you can dress which you look absolutely ridiculous when you walk around North London, and there are certain ways where you just look a little bit kind of different when you walk around North London, but not ridiculous. I don't suggest you pick up your, Meir Sha'arim outfit with the little turban with the little, bobble at the front of it and all that kind of stuff. You won't look very normal there, okay? But you'll find a way to do it. But yeah, you might have to stick out a bit. But it's the same if you go to a restaurant and everybody's eating treif and you're eating a piece of salad. You'll also say, they'll say, what are you doing that for? You'll say, no, because, I keep kosher. Rachel. Yes. Again, like I answered before, it depends on who you are. Depends on who you are. Depends on the society you're from. It may be totally dignified for you to kick off your shoes and socks and play frisbee in the park. It may be completely outrageous. Well, I mean, you have to tell me. It's context. you can't tell me, you can't say an objective halacha that it's completely osur. Or don't do it if you think it's inappropriate for you, even if you're not in Meir Shearim. Even if you're in the Rocky Mountains. If it's not the way to be for you, it's not the way to be. You have to work it out. What do you say?
Like the Quakers.
Well, I don't know. I'm not so familiar with what the Quakers do. You don't have to dress like a 17th century Puritan, if that's what you're asking. No, there's no halacha that you're not allowed to have fun. Okay, there's no such halacha. If the only way you can have fun is by breaking halacha, then yes, then don't have that kind of fun. But there's plenty of fun that you can have within the halacha, and it may be quite flexible in many ways. I don't know about the Quakers. I bet the Quakers have a bit of fun on the side as well, in a way which they're allowed. By the way, Quaker means to shake. It's the best translation of Haredi. It's the same word. Quaker, yeah. It just means it's the same idea. I'm not saying that the Haredi Hashkofa is the same as the Quakers at all, Lahavdil. I'm just saying that's what the word means. It's the same word. They picked the same word. Yeah. Actually, they probably had the word first and we probably took it afterwards. Yeah.
And what I don't understand is you've got these people who are like
you
really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And yet, like, according to what we're learning, they're
testing
not keeping
up.
Like, where does it come from?
Whoa. I just want to ask you what you're saying. Right, 1 second, guys. We've got a very important question here, and then I'm going to have to end, otherwise I'll get into trouble. There are people that you say who are very learned who are not keeping halacha. In what way?
I mean, like, I've been to, like, communities where I don't understand what they're learning. They know way more than I do, so I can't judge anything.
Right, and?
Girls learning Gemara.
And
yet, like, their teachers and their rabbis are partially covering their hair. They're not covering their elbows. They have the whole temple and they're this, and I don't understand, what does that mean?
So I'd say like this. Some of it will be based on different interpretations, Das Yehudis issues, some of it. Some of it will be based on people not keeping as much as they should do. It'll be a mixture. You can point to examples of great people whose wives didn't cover their hair in situations where there was no obvious reason why they shouldn't have covered their hair, and yet they didn't cover their hair. Great, great Rabbanim, okay, over the last 100 years. And you can ask why that happened, and there'll be a million and one reasons, and the reasons won't necessarily be that it was okay, but, you know, whatever. So, depending on the situations you're in, you have to ask yourself, when is it that these people just have a different dask of this? And when is it they're looking at a different shita in halacha? And when is it they're not being careful about it? And it'll be a mixture of all three. You know, I go to people's houses who know a lot more than me and learn a lot more than me, and sometimes they, you know, say a word of Lashon Hara. That doesn't mean they're following a different shita in Lashon Hara. It means that, you know, I have my issues and everyone has their issues.
But I'm talking about rabbis of the stem, who I could see, like, most of their hair. I don't understand where that... It's not like a slipping Lashon Hara. I've decided to live my life in a specific way and everyone can see.
Okay, so you know something? If they're really knowledgeable and they're really serious and they're really honest, ask them. Don't be frightened. Ask them. I'm interested in the shita of hair covering. I want to know, you know, what your shita is and how that works. Because if you ask them in a nice way, then they'll tell you. And if they get all upset and embarrassed, then you'll know they're probably not doing it right. And if they say no, it's very interesting and give you the sources, then okay, you can look at it. If someone's wearing a little doily on their head or a hat that goes back here and all their hair is coming out, okay, you have to ask, where's that coming from? It's not so clear. Now, it doesn't mean that the only shita is the tepach at the front. There may be other shitas as to how that works. Okay, I can't go through all of them, but it'll be a mixture of all the things I mentioned, probably. Yes.
When you say where is that all coming from, isn't there one sentence that says that, like, you have to, it's only one way? Like,
No. That's a global meta question on the whole halakhic system. We don't believe in, this is Nava's famous favorite subject. We don't believe in one way for everybody. There's a multiplicity of opinions in halakha. This is true of this as much as everything else.
Right,
doesn't mean everything's okay. It means there's more than one way. It doesn't mean everything.
But it says in the Torah that you have to cover your hair.
Fine, so how much hair? How much hair did the Kohen uncover of the Sota? How much? You tell me. Oh, exactly. So that's part of where this comes from. So this, some say this much, some say this much, some say this much. That's where part of this is coming from. I can't get into all this now and I have to end in 1 minute. I'll take one or two questions and then we'll finish. Yeah.
Here,
That's hard to say that's a dashi hudis. If it's also to do min hadin, you can't have a dashi hudis which goes against it. There are people, look, there are people who learn the whole tefach thing differently than the way I've taught it. There are people. I can only teach you the way that I've been taught. My understanding is that that is not the correct way of learning in halacha. The tefach is above the elbow, etc. There are people who learn differently, okay? I can't get into the whole thing now.
So
but
someone holds by that, though.
Okay, as long as they're asking Shilas to Tamidi Chachomim. It could be related. The tefach here has nothing to do with Tznius, that's to do with Kriyat Shema. If people at the end of the day are asking Shilas.
So if
am I allowed to say Kriyat Shema in front of her, of that tefach for her, if I hold it, she's keeping the. That's a technical question, I don't want to get into that now. It's going to take us off and we're late already. Okay? Okay, so I hope this has been of some use. I hope it hasn't confused you more. I hope it's clarified certain issues. But this issue of getting to the bottom of the issue of dignity and how the sensitivity to that dignity is fundamental really underpins pretty much everything, and hopefully will allow you to implement this in a healthy and sensitized way. Okay, have a wonderful day.